Thank you so much, band, for setting our focus and attention on you, Jesus, the one who came into the world. He came 2,000 years ago. We celebrate him, yes, on Christmas, yes, on Easter, but all throughout our life because he's worthy. He's worthy of all praise and honor and glory. And we turn his word today. If you would, turn with me to Revelation chapter 21. We're going to be looking at verses 1 through 5. Revelation 21, 1 through 5. As I mentioned earlier, Christmas has this way of being a holiday that we wish could stick around longer, which is why we get our Christmas tree out earlier and earlier and earlier every year and leave it up longer and longer and longer. I understand why some people in the Deep South leave up their Christmas lights all year long. It now makes sense as a 35-year-old. But that won't happen at our place, I'm sure. Christmas is like water in the palm of your hand. Try to hold on to it, and yet it just slips away. This season and all the things of this life, they just have a way of escaping. And this is one of the reasons why we're turning our attention towards eternity today, because we know there's certainty there. There's something that won't escape, that won't leave, and nor can we leave it. Eternity is approaching, and we're going to set our attention this morning towards what that life with Jesus is all about. As we look at what it means to live the new life and live towards it. So this morning, our sermon title is To Live Towards the New Life to Come. Would you take your copy of the Word of God and read together with me? Revelation 21, 1 through 5. It says, Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. And he who is seated on the throne said, Behold, I'm making all things new. Also he said, Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for your word. God, help us not to take for granted the fact that we have a copy of it, that we can read, that's available to us, that we can see the truth from your scriptures, that they are trustworthy and true, just as you've said. Even when people fail us, God, we know you won't. Even when people disappoint us, God, we know you won't. Because what you have in store is greater, so much greater than anything we have right now. So God, help us to set our lives towards the new life which is to come. So we live this one in light of eternity. God, we love you. We pray this in your name. And all God's people said, Amen. So I got one point today. This is the first time I've given a sermon with one point, and it's the exact same point as the title of the sermon. And it's this: we are to live in a way or live towards the new life to come. This life is to be lived towards the new life that is to come. And what do I mean when I say live towards this new life to come? It's to live in such a way that what we say and what we do is motivated by being with Jesus forever. And not only that, that gives you motivation right now to have joy, to have hope that this is not it. This is not it. This is the worst, believers in here, that this is going to get for you. And in light of eternity, this is just a blip on the timeline of your life. This is it. All the suffering, all the pain, all the sorrow is just a blip in light of what is to come. And even in this season right now, as it's coming to a close, as we start a new year with new goals and aspirations, you have so much more ahead of you. This is the worst, believer. But I want to give a word of warning to those that do not believe, that have not received Jesus, that have lived for themselves as opposed to living for him. that this is the best it's going to get. This is it. And it makes sense why we want this utopic kind of life. We want to make our world a utopia. You ever wonder why there's a trend now in movies trying to build a utopia, trying to create this system, this ideal place to live? Yeah, it's because a life without Christ is a life looking to this world as our only hope. And it will fail utterly because you weren't made to live here forever. Now, you'll notice as you look at verses 1 through 5 in Revelation 21, there's a word that appears a few different times. It's the word new. And I looked it up to make it clear to us what the word new means. The word new means new. But there's more to that. This kind of new is a new that is superior to what was before it. It's superior. So think about that. As Christians, the word new in the New Testament, as well as even references in the Old, they show us that there's something better in the new than what you have right now. There's something better about the new than what you have right now. Listen, this is for the Christian in here. The word new comes up in 2 Corinthians 5:17, and it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is passed away, and behold, the new has come. This old way of living is gone. I'm living for the new, which is new in Christ. Then Colossians 3:9-10 says this, do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with his practices, and you've put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Then you have a reference in the Old Testament in Ezekiel 11:19, which says, I will give them one heart, and a new spirit I will put within them. I'll remove the heart of stone from their flesh and give them a heart of flesh. You see, the new is better than the now. When you're talking about this Christian life, if you're not a believer, what you can have in Christ is better than what you have on your own. What you can have in Christ is stronger than what you have on your own. What you can have in Christ is wiser than what you have on your own. We want to live a new way for what is to come. And you can have that promise today, now. If you're in Christ, all of the ways of old are going to pass, and you'll inherit something better. If you're putting on this new way, you're modeling a life of following Christ. And what you say, how you say it, and what you do, how you take care of what you're doing, and the way you live, it's new, it's better. It's the way of Christ. A new way of living is superior to the old way of living for self. Therefore, the new way of living with Jesus will be superior to this broken world. It's going to be so much better. This is one of my favorite things to preach about, is what heaven's going to be like. There's excitement in that. There's a future in that. There's a hope in that. God is making a new heaven and a new earth, and the old heaven and the old earth are going to pass away. He's going to make all things new. 2 Peter 3:10 says this, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief. And when the heavens pass away, they'll pass away with a roar. And the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved. And the earth and the works that are done will be exposed. Now, depending on where you live, you see more of these than some of us. As the night sky comes into view, you see stars up in the sky. And while they look cute from our point of view, if you get up close, they're flaming hot balls of fire. At the end of time, God is going to use those to destroy all that was before and make all things new. This is a powerful, all-powerful God. And he's going to bring something better than what is. We want to live in light of that reality. In verse 1, John also tells us that something is taken away. The sea. Why the sea? And for some of you fishermen out there, you're like, what? You're going to take that away? I was expecting to get in my boat and going on a trip. But for John, what he's saying is really personal to him. If you know anything about the Apostle John, John is exiled on the island of Patmos. And the sea is what separates him from worshiping with the seven churches he writes about in chapters 2 and 3. He's not able to be with them. He's in exile because of his faith. And not only that, but in Jewish thought, the sea is seen as an evil thing. In the book of Daniel and the book of Revelation, it says that the Antichrist, called the first beast, and the false prophet, called the second beast, are those who come up out of the sea. The Jewish people look at the sea and the bodies of water, and they think there's some symbolism of evil there. And so in the new creation, there is no sea. There is no evil. We're on our native turf, solid ground. And I know this to be true, and my wife is probably, as she's not feeling well at home, laughing at this, because I'm not a good swimmer. So praise God. I know I'm gonna have a perfect body in heaven and, you know, all that good stuff, but I just wonder if I'm not a good swimmer now. I'm just curious. I don't know. Anyway, we need to get back to this. God's going to make all things new. It'll be better. I know this. Verses 2 through 3. We see that John says that the new Jerusalem is coming down from heaven to earth. So it's something like, it's like what when you go to a wedding and you see it all taking place. You sit down, you see the groom waiting up there. He's waiting for his bride and the bride comes in. This is, anytime we go to a wedding, it's a foreshadowing of the great wedding when Jesus unites himself to us and he'll be with us forever. No more of this long distance kind of relationship where we're walking through the valley of the shadow of death and we know he's with us, but we don't see him. Now we'll be with him and he'll be with us forever, forever. And that's far better. The new is better than what's right now. The new to come is so much better. He will come down from heaven, the fullness of his presence, to be with us. And then look back at verse 3, it says, "And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and he himself will be to them as their God." This is a promise, church, today you have. You can't lose it. You can't work your way out of it. This promise is there. I remember the day. January 9th, 2016. I was standing on a stage much like this with my groomsmen at my side, the bridesmaids over here, and I was waiting in the anticipation, as many of you men who are married in here know, it's just killing me. I was nervous. And then the moment finally came. The back doors open, my bride walks out, and all these emotions come flooding in at once. I'm nervous, I'm tearing up, I'm excited, and I felt like I could not control my face at that moment. One eye over here is twitching while the other eye is like not blinking at all, just trying to take it all in. And I was so excited for that moment. The day was finally there. This is a foreshadowing of something even greater. Even greater. The perfect one, Jesus, comes down to be with us, to take us, the church, as his bride. And on that day, it will be finally and fully realized. I think it's no coincidence. After Christmas, the next day after Christmas, my wife's grandfather passed away. And on the day of Christmas, I know God set this up perfectly. On the day of Christmas, the Lord had us there by design to pray over him. And he was in a state where he couldn't talk. And he is a man who is known for talking. And the Lord had him there. And one final time we got to share the gospel with him. And I am praying even at this moment that he received the good news of Jesus in a state where he could do nothing else. And he knew his end was coming. I pray that the Lord sovereignly saved him at that time. For all of us, there's coming a day. There is a moment, and we don't know the moment, but many of us in here won't have those final moments sitting in our deathbed waiting. We don't know how this is going to end here, But we do know how it's going to end there. That's for certain. We're all going to stand before him in judgment. And he is offering us his grace. He's offering us the new. It's so much better than what's right now. And this is why we live life in light of what is to come. In light of this new life. Because it is so much better. It's not just fear of hell. Yes, that's a part of the equation. But there's so much more joy in being with him. So much more. And until then, we live this way. And here's how good God is. Even with all of the amazing things that are going to happen, heaven coming down to earth, him being with us, the new city of Jerusalem being there, we get to be with him forever. God doesn't ignore your pain. Look at verse 4. It says, he will wipe away every tear from their eye, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, because the former things have passed away. The former things are done. Judgment has come. Wars have stopped. Fighting has ended, and eternity is finally here, and God will wipe away the tears from the pain you had in this life. God is not going to just show all this stuff to us, the new heaven and the new earth, and say, hey, get over it. Stop your crying. Don't you see all this? No, instead, he's going to lean in to comfort you. That's what Christ did when he came down to this earth 2,000 years ago. He leaned in to comfort us. He came to empathize with us. He knows your pain and sorrow and suffering. He knows where you're at this very moment right now. And Christ, even in the new creation, he still comforts you. He still provides peace and comfort for you. Death shall be no more. No more crying, no more mourning, no more pain, because the former things have passed away. The new will come, because Christ died in our place for our sin on the cross. He made a way. 2 Peter or 1 Peter 2:24 says, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that is the cross, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. And as we see in the book of Revelation, here's that healing. Here's that comfort. If you've read the scriptures and heard that God will answer your prayers, guess what? This is his full, final answer to your prayer for healing, for peace, for rest. I think more often than not, when I go to the grocery store and I ask somebody, how can I pray for you? They always ask for one or two things, for health or for peace. And guess what? In heaven, both of those are there. And that's where I share the gospel. And that's where we share the gospel. Lean into those conversations. The Christian life is a life lived for God's glory. And we get to see all his glorious ways. But guess what? It's also for your good. God is comforting. God is powerful. God is loving. Yet God is a perfect judge. And God wants us to worship him because he's glorious. And also, he wants for your good. There's a musician by the name of Zach Williams, and he put out a song a few years ago called Pain Taker. I'm not going to sing it for us, but many of you know it. And I'm going to read some lyrics off, and I want you to hear what the artist writes. We've all searched for the light of day in the dead of night. We've all find ourselves worn out from the same old fight, and we've all run to things we know just ain't right. When there's a better life, there's a better life. If you've got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom or saving, he's a prison shaking savior. And if you've not watched the music video of where they perform this in a prison, do that this afternoon. Bring some tissues as well. If you've got chains, he's a chain breaker. Even if you're not a Christian at this moment, don't you want that? Don't you want that healing for your heart? Don't you want that rest for your soul? He can take any and all of your worries and problems, and he will lean into that. He will comfort you in that. In fact, all throughout the Bible, God is promising his people, I'm with you. He does that with Joshua, with David. He does that with his disciples. I am with you. And guess what? At the end of days, he is with us. He's with us. That's the best thing he can offer, is for him to be with you and his spirit to be in you. He wants that for you. Mark 2:17 says this, and when Jesus heard it, he said to them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick, I came not to call the righteous, but the sinners. You see, Jesus, he sees the pain. He saw it then 2,000 years ago in this context, and he sees it today. And we all know what it's like to feel sick. We know the symptoms. We know the signs. We know that kind of pain. But many people in this world don't know the sickness that's in their heart, or they choose not to think about it. And that sickness is called sin. And that sin will lead you to a place far worse than any kind of flu, or any kind of cold, any kind of disease you can get. And Jesus is saying here, those who know they're sick go to him, the great physician. They go to him for the healing. But those who choose to ignore it, put up a wall around it, they don't want anything to do with him. If you know what it's like to have physical sickness and want to treat it, why would you ignore the sickness within your own heart that's called sin? It is a reality that has ravaged our world. The reason why poverty, death, sorrow exist is because of sin. And one day, Jesus is going to make all things right. This new life, which God calls us to live for, is the way in which he is going to make all things right, thanks to Jesus, who made a way for us. Now, finally, look at verse 5. Look at verse 5 here. It says, and he who is seated on the throne said, behold, I'm making all things new. Also, he said, write these things down, for they are trustworthy and true. This verse connects us back to verse 1 where we began. John says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. He's seeing this, and Jesus knows, as he's sitting on the throne, as John sees this, he's saying, hey, make sure you write this down. Because he's so in awe of all that Jesus is showing him. Write these things down because they are trustworthy and true, and you can bank on that promise. His words are trustworthy and true because God, he himself, is trustworthy and true. Even when people fail, God will never fail. Even when you are faithless, God is always faithful. He is there to the end, and one day you'll be with him forevermore. Listen to Lamentations 3, 22 through 23. The steadfastness of the love of the Lord never ceases, and his mercies never come to an end. They are, and I didn't know this word would be there, but they're new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. His words, they will never pass away. His word is trustworthy. His word is true. If you watch the news for any length of time, you can see how all the things described in the Bible are coming true. There are new ways of inventing evil, and we see it unfolding day by day by day. You don't have to search far to see that God's word is coming true, and that God's word and what he did 2,000 years ago on the cross, in your place, for your sin, has true and worthy implications for your life. Consider who Christ is. He is someone who will be with you if you trust him. He'll be with you to the very end. This is why we are to live for the new life to come. So, what do we do with this? Living in light of the new life to come. I want to give us three ways we can do that. One, think of what you're doing right now in this life. What are some things you're involved in? What are some things you're a part of? Maybe you're a student at school. You're employed. It's your job. You take care of your family. It's family. What are things you're a part of, things you're involved in? What are some areas of life you spend a lot of reoccurring time in? Second is ask yourself, why? Or rather, what motivates you to be involved in those ways? What motivates you? What's the underlying reason by which those relationships are a part of your life? What is the reason you do what you do at your job? What is the reason you study? Even students, you're not off the hook. I know you got to go to school because that's what the government says. But even when you're studying, students, what is the reason by which you study for those exams? What are the reasons by which you do your homework? And then third is ask the Lord to search your heart. You've looked at what you do. You've looked at why you do those things. Now, ask the Lord, thirdly, to search your heart. David says this in Psalm 139, 23 through 24. He says, "Search me, O God, know my heart. Try me, know my thoughts. See if there is any grievous way in me and lead me into the way that is everlasting." We all need to ask God to evaluate our lives. I think we move at such a fast pace in this life, we neglect this all the time. I think we're just moving to the next thing. Even after service, there's a tendency for us to think about the next thing. And when Monday comes, to think about that next thing. And Christmas, this season, is such a good time to slow down, to reassess, to ask the Lord to speak into your life. And this is a time where you can ask the Lord to do that. So I would challenge you tonight when you're having dinner or at lunch right after service, sit down, talk with your spouse, talk with your family, talk with your friends, whoever you're amongst, and just talk about these things. Talk about areas of life where you're involved, why or what motivates you to live in such a way in those areas. And then pray together and ask the Lord to search your heart. We all need that time for the Lord to search deep within us, because I'm afraid that we move so quick to the next things. But all this, if we're going to ask the Lord to do the work, the Lord has to be in us and with us. And this is why we share the gospel every single day. Sunday. And the gospel is this. The gospel concerns Jesus, what he did in your place. He lived a perfect life. He died on the cross in your place for your sins, and he rose victoriously from the grave so that you might have a relationship with him, you might have forgiveness of sin, and might have this new life, this eternity in heaven with him forever. And if you've never received the gospel today, I want to encourage you to come find me or come find Jim, or if you're watching online, to text the word Lakeland to the number at the bottom of the screen. Let's enter into this time of response, church. Would you stand with me? And we're going to go to the Lord in prayer. And if you would, find one of us down front. God, we thank you for all the ways in which you have loved us and pointed us to yourself. I think right now, even in this season, Jesus, you living that perfect life, coming down from your throne, being born in a manger. God, I think of all the Christmas lights and the nativities, the gifts, the times with family. All those are ways in which you're pointing us to yourself. Not just for the feeling in the moment, but God, you're pointing us to you, the person, not just the event, but who you are. You're a humble God who came down into a manger as an infant. You allowed for two imperfect people to raise you, to be around others who you knew more than. And then no matter how many times you told your disciples who you were and what you were going to do, God, they didn't believe until your resurrection, Jesus. And you made it all clear. Jesus, you did not come to be some kind of revolutionary. But God, you came personally to change the heart and lives of people who would know their sickness called sin. And you'd be their savior from it. Lord, I pray you'd work in this room today. no matter how long we've attended church. God, would you let the words of your scriptures sink deep into the hearts of those who hear my voice? God, we pray you work in this room now, that those would respond to the gospel, would recommit themselves. And God, if there's those that just know they're not where they should be in their walk with you, God, would this be an opportunity to rekindle the flame that can only be done by your Spirit? We love you and pray this in your name.